Welcome to the Freedom Report, broadcasting from Alexandria, Virginia. Welcome to the Freedom Report. I'm your host, Austin Peterson. Who's Austin Peterson?
Liberty champion Austin Peterson, this Justin Bieber lookalike, and a powerful advocate for liberty.
Who's Austin Peterson? I'm an American. I love life, liberty, and family, but I'm not a conservative. I'm a hardcore libertarian. What am I doing here? I'm trying to restore the republic. The Libertarian Republic is a website aimed at furthering the ideas of economic freedom and personal liberty. I don't really care about parties. All I care about are ideas. And the one idea I care the most about? Freedom! That's right, pure freedom on the Freedom Report podcast.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Freedom Report. This is Austin Peterson, broadcasting from Alexandria, Virginia. And I'm here with my associate editor of the Libertarian Republic. Welcome, Ian Hewitt.
Good to be here.
So this morning we're not going to talk about the State of the Union very much because I think everybody's pretty much covered it and there really isn't a whole lot we can add. There were three responses that the GOP gave last night to the State of the Union, one by Kathy McMorris Rogers, one by Mike Lee, which was the Tea Party response, and then another by Senator Rand Paul. Everybody seemed to strike on the basic talking points of republicanism, limited government as the solutions, Barack Obama talking about income inequality as the problem, and nothing really got accomplished in terms of, you know, striking sweeping policy changes. That's why we want to talk about something a little bit probably off most people's radar. If you're not following the election in Texas, the governor's race is heating up now, and there's a lot of rhetoric flying around on both sides. One of the candidates, who's the Democratic candidate, has become well-known because she gave, something like a 13-hour filibuster.
It was not nearly as long as Rand Paul's filibuster, but it was quite lengthy.
It was a long filibuster, and she was doing this to try and basically stop abortion bills that were going to be passed. Can you give us a little background on this, Ian?
There was new regulation against abortions being introduced in Texas. Rand Paul had recently filibustered against the executive branch's right to kill someone without trial, essentially. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Wendy Davis filibustered for a woman's right to have an abortion in Texas. Mm-hmm. So much the way Rand Paul came to be identified with due process, Wendy Davis came to be identified with abortion.
Right. And the big dust-up right now is between RedState.com's contributor and Fox News contributor Eric Erickson and anchor Greta Van Susteren, who's over, they're both actually Fox people, and I met Eric Erickson a couple of times when I worked at Fox, and he's the type of guy who's definitely like a shock jock. He's like a Rush Limbaugh, and he didn't give her this name, but they've been calling Wendy Davis Abortion Barbie. And just on its face, just from a straight visceral reaction, it's the kind of thing that makes you go, whoa, you know, like it sounds...
Makes you sit up in your chair.
It makes you sit up in your chair and you think, oh gosh, you know, this is very offensive. But why is it offensive? We're going to talk about this today, but let me give you a little bit of background real quick. I'm going to read to you. This is from Andrew Carell over at Mediaite. On Tuesday evening, Fox contributor Eric Erickson responded to Greta Van Susteren calling him a jerk with a blog post of his own. Eric Erickson gave thanks to Susteren for turning the country's attention to the abortion lover and Texas gubernatorial candidate Wendy Davis by attacking him. So Van Susteren was angry at Eric Erickson's tweets referring to Wendy Davis as, quote, abortion Barbie, and using condescending language towards the female lawmaker. I don't care how much you disagree or agree with Texas Wendy Davis, you have to agree that this guy, Eric Erickson, is a real jerk and is really lousy at being a spokesperson for his views, she wrote. So in a response, Eric offered his sincere thanks to Greta. He said, I appreciate Greta focusing on my tweets and finding it instructive. She chose specifically to not make it about Wendy Davis. Wendy Davis is a one-issue wonder heralded by the press because she is a high priestess of the secular religion, Sacred Sacrament, slaughtering children on the altar of Moloch. That Greta Van Susteren is offended by me, thinks me creepy and a jerk, and thinks I should not be listened to is of no harm or consequence to me. So then he kept going, and it just gets worse. He goes, Wendy Davis believes it perfectly acceptable to crack open a child's skull, inject her cranium with saline, vacuum out her brains, then tear her limb from limb, unstitching her from her mother's womb, even though a minute, an hour, a day, a week, or a month later she could survive outside the womb. Wendy Davis has staked her career on the right to chop a child to bits, no matter how viable the child is. The media prefers to ignore that to which Wendy Davis staked her career. They'd prefer to focus on her, or as Vogue described her, her Barbie looks and pink sneakers. So what do you think? Is Eric Erickson being a jerk? Is this justified, or is this just politics? I mean, what do you think about this, Ian?
Well, of course, Eric Erickson is being a jerk. Yeah. But as for whether or not it's justified, I think there's two components of this abortion Barbie slur that are offensive to supporters of Wendy Davis. Mm-hmm. One, of course, is Barbie, and the other, of course, is abortion.
Right.
The implication being that it is unfair to identify Wendy Davis with abortion. But in fact, she made a name for herself and gave a very long filibuster for a woman's right to have an abortion in Texas. So it would be as if we began to call Rand Paul due process Rand or something, yeah, because Rand filibustered for due process.
Right. Well,
so it's right to identify her with abortion, I think, regardless of your position.
And Vogue Vogue magazine are the ones who described her with her Barbie looks and her pink sneakers. Now, she's obviously in a lot of trouble because she has been caught sort of embellishing her background, her history about being like a single mother in a trailer home and working her way up to Harvard. And then what we come to find out later is that she was actually older than she said. She wasn't a teenage mother living in a trailer home, and that was only a temporary situation that she was in. Then she got very lucky. She had a husband who paid for her college education, and then she, you know, she divorced him.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, she was technically, as a teenage mother, she did live in a trailer home. Mm-hmm. It was for a matter of months. Mm-hmm. That is sort of a slight fudging of the details, you could say, at most. Mm-hmm. I think the two big discrepancies that people have pointed to in Wendy Davis's story are one, that of course she didn't finance her college entirely through student loans, as mm-hmm. was sort of implied. Mm-hmm. Her second husband paid for a lot of her education, much of her undergrad and her law school career. Mm-hmm. She did divorce him the day after he had finished making those payments. Mm-hmm. He has said that's ironic, but that it would be absurd to say that the two had any connection. But it does seem like an awfully big coincidence. Mm-hmm. And also, on the other hand, the age difference, while it seems like a small difference of a couple years, mm-hmm. maybe she misremembered, mm-hmm. it may be important down the line because she has recorded this incorrect story in a federal lawsuit under oath.
Right.
So that could technically be a violation of the law.
Right. So, and we found out that it's not technically perjury, because perjury would have to be relevant to the details of the case. You'd have to be lying about
right.
the specific details of the case. She just, you know,
well,
said something that was
not
untrue.
Technically perjury, but she still could have lied under oath.
Right, yeah. Right, which is
which
a problem.
Is still illegal.
Right. So here's the thing, you know, and I want to be fair to the ladies here, and I think it's unfair that we don't have a lady here. I wish I had someone that that could speak on behalf of the ladies, but because of that, I want to try and be very fair here, while being honest, because, you know, calling someone abortion Barbie, it seems offensive on its face. But then again, you know, we have to be totally honest here. You know, politics is not it's a contact sport, okay? It's not the kind of thing that you should get into if you can't handle it.
Right.
And people are talking about this as if this is sexist. You know, calling her abortion Barbie is sexist. Well, one, it was Vogue that referred to her as Barbie, and two, her abortion issue is what she staked her political career on. So I find it hard to believe that it could really be characterized as unfair or sexist, really, to call her that, because, you know, it's politics is a rough and tumble game. And again, you know, if women want to have equal rights, then they're going to have to put up with some of the equal, you know, shaming that goes on. Some of the, you know, I wouldn't say necessarily slander, but some of the awful things that you have to deal with when you run for office. So, yeah. I mean, do you think it's unfair to call her something like that? Or what are you thinking? Is this just something that, you know, people have to put up with? Are people just trying to shield her, saying, oh, well, she's a woman, you know, you shouldn't say these kinds of things about her? Or should she have to put up with the same thing that everybody else does?
Well, I think a big part of the offense people take is the word Barbie, and in sort of the establishment feminist narrative, Barbie is a very negative symbol. It's mm-hmm. responsible for socializing children to have mm-hmm. unrealistic body expectations and so forth. Mm-hmm. But a big thing that people do find offensive is associating Wendy Davis with abortion, And regardless of your opinion, she has done that herself. So right. I don't see that people have any moral right to be offended by the identification of Winnie Davis with abortion.
Right. So, you know, Greta Van Susteren is attacking Eric Erickson here for making these graphic descriptions about abortion, but that's exactly what abortion is, you know, and, you know, it, whether you like it or not, this is the issue that she has staked her name on. And, you know, if somebody's going to get into politics and you're going to try and run for a higher office, you know, and so you've got a team opposing you, you should expect things like this. So I don't know that, you know, Greta Van Susteren really should be taking special offense at Eric Erickson. I mean, it's sort of like par for the course. I mean, there's really a lot worse things you could call someone who advocates for, you know, the killing of little babies than abortion Barbie.
Right, especially if you look at the way some people in the media will try to defame figures like Rand Paul, for example. We certainly see some selective outrage when people on the left are subject to slurs relative to more liberty-minded people.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like, you know, we take a lot of grief ourselves, you know, libertarians. We have a lot of, you know, nasty things that are directed our way, conspiracy theorists, you know, things like that.
And it's perfectly acceptable to ascribe malicious, hateful motives to Republicans. This is just par for the course.
Right. And, you know, to be quite honest, Abortion Barbie doesn't really sound like the most, even though, like, I have a visceral reaction to it immediately, it's not the worst thing that you can really call someone. I mean, and shouldn't she be proud, you know, she's for abortion, she's out there. And a Barbie, again, you know, when you think about Barbie, you think of a beautiful woman, somebody, you know, with, you know, pretty features, so, you know, a guy that, you know, a girl that, you know, any guy would want to date or be with or marry or whatever. So, I mean, you know, if you're a Democrat guy and you hear about Abortion Barbie, I mean, that sounds like your dream date, right?
Yeah, I suppose so.
Well, you know, listen, I try not to be too mean. I try and keep it, you know, above the belt here. But when you're talking about someone like Wendy Davis, who's, you know, again, she staked her political career on this, you've got to, like, call the cards where they lie. And right. Eric Erickson may be a jerk and all that. But again, you know, don't get into this business if you can't stand it. You know?
Well, I'm glad you brought up that disclaimer, because one thing we have noticed that Eric Erickson has perhaps clearly been in the wrong on is on Red State. He called out Wendy Davis for some court documents he obtained where she was instructed not to use drugs before seeing her children, the implication being that the court believed Wendy Davis specifically had a drug problem. But in fact, this was just boilerplate language always told to people in divorce cases. So,
I think it's
important to caution people on our side that when you're being critical of your opponents, you know, they provide enough ammunition for us to use. We don't need to go out and sort of grasp at straws in order to attack someone or to refute their argument.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. I mean, you know, we want to be fair here at thelibertarianrepublic.com. It's you know, we're obviously biased in favor of liberty, but we do want to give everybody an equal and open opportunity to have their views aired in a manner that's consistent with the truth. Now, Eric Erickson, he may be a jerk. She may be, making conservatism look bad, but again, it doesn't sound to me as if he's necessarily doing anything that anybody else is doing with any, you know, extreme vigor. You know, Rush Limbaugh has called Wendy Davis Abortion Barbie. Lots of people have said this, and quite frankly, if the shoe fits, then she should probably wear it.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, well, I want to know what you guys think about this. I really appreciate you tuning into the Libertarian Republic podcast. This is the Freedom Report. We come to you 5 days a week from Alexandria, Virginia. One of our sponsors, a guy by the name of Adam Puff, I really want you to check out his website. You can visit him at puffwealth.com. That's Puff like Puff and Blow. PuffWealth. TheLibertarianRepublic.com is just growing every single day thanks to the support of listeners like you. We hope that you'll tune in, put us on your bookmark list, visit TheLibertarianRepublic.com every day. That is your home for economic freedom and personal liberty.